proven, guys, we're all still alive. And here's what I want to tell you. Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. He's coming back soon, and he ain't playing. Hello, everybody. Welcome, guys, to episode number 37 of The Pulse. And I'm here with some of my friends. And Leanna just now left. She just came in with Patrick and Peace Ruharuza. They flew in all the way from Qatar. Before that, they had been out rescuing babies for us in Uganda, East Africa. And now they're here in Texas. I'll definitely be putting them on some spontaneous things during the week. So you guys don't want to miss that across all of our social media. But, you know, one of the things I want to make sure that I do before we get off into a little bit from last Wednesday night's Atomic Bible Study, where I was going through John chapter 2, is before we get off into that, I want to tell you one of the things I'm trying to tell everybody that I actually reinforced on Sunday, Mr. Ben Brewer.
What?
How are you?
I am alive.
I'm just making sure. Yes. So on Sunday, I was saying, I was preaching on a part of my sermon that actually had 3:16 in it, right? And it was good. It was a good way to go into, I think it was 1 Kings 3:16 is where all that started and all that. So I was just going through 3:16, Miss Connie, and I was doing that. And because I can't have a serious conversation with him right now. And so I'm going to try and have one with you. Listen, the problem, I want to tell everybody what the problem is. I'm going to share with you. I might have to do it behind the veil, though. I probably have to do it behind the
belt.
You
don't want to scar
anybody else. Because there was something that happened out at Third Stage Ranch this morning that I probably don't want to share publicly.
It was a scarring event.
And by the way, I did not want to share it publicly. I was on my own ranch, minding my own business. And you can see me from atop the next mountain like the high and mighty person that you are now.
Because you story house, right?
Don't be looking down upon my place.
I had to look down upon my peasant to make sure he was all right.
I am okay. And I have a cannon. I have a literal cannon.
That's why the cannon is pointed
at. That's why it's pointed at his house. I mean, doesn't every man of God have a Texas Revolutionary cannon?
Yes. There he is.
Okay, so one of the things that I said on Sunday was I was talking about 2 Corinthians 3:16 that says, when you turn to the Lord, that the veil is put away. Mm-hmm. The veil is literally torn. So there's like this veil that people have on them. And I tell people, like, if people were like, Troy, I just don't get it. I just don't see the whole God thing. I don't see the whole Jesus thing. And I'm like, just cry out to him. Amen. I dare you. What are you scared of? I double dog dare you. Go home. Just, you know, close the door. Mm-hmm. Put your face on the floor and cry out and say, okay, Jesus, I want to know. I'm turning to you. Mm-hmm. I want to know how real you are. And if you cry out to Jesus Christ, I'm telling you right now, he will remove the veil and you will be able to see him.
Amen.
All right. You sent me something today across social media, Miss Connie, and it's a guy crying out to Jesus Christ right after he steps on a Lego. Watch this man of God cry out. Here we go.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, see, like this guy, he cries out. All right, if he's got the courage to cry out, why can't everybody else do that? No, that's funny. I'm sorry. That is funny. All right, I'm probably going to get, anyway, here's something else too.
No, and you can do this at any age. It's in your youth and as you get older.
Okay. So
we have
even
an example.
We have an example of an old lady. Mm-hmm. She's pointing up to Jesus and she asks for help. This is as authentic as it gets. Okay, watch this.
Look right here. Oh, help me.
Okay, help me.
No one's commenting on her.
Meanwhile, in Boston, Massachusetts, police officers, while woke people are being ugly to them, I want to show you the brave and extraordinary efforts that police officers are willing to go to. Somebody had called in and said, look, I'm telling you right now that this dadgum slide in the park is dangerous. Like, it ain't dangerous. It slided, and one man of God stepped up, and here he comes. Watch this brave police officer.
Why was it so funny? Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh,
Everybody logged out.
Another example.
Talking to us.
Another example. Well, guys, man, I want to welcome you here. I promise you we will get into the Word of God, but we're all media people. We see stuff, and I'm like, why don't we ever share this stuff? Because we think it's hilarious. We think it is absolutely hilarious. It's really good stuff. I will tell you, sometimes, for example, I remember the Holy Ghost stop. I remember that one. Mm-hmm. Like, we have examples of that. Man, you want the Spirit of the Lord to stop you. I mean, if you're messing up, mm-hmm. you want to live in the Holy Ghost in such a way that the Spirit of God will just stop you and just go, no more of this mess. Wow. This was caught on film in Japan of the Holy Spirit in action. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Let's see. That's what I'm talking about.
I was not expecting that. I was
in
a church moment.
I can't try to act cool. Listen, he's just going to sit there and act cool like nothing had happened.
That is not what I was expecting at all.
I forgot what the other one was. We had one more.
No, that's not that one.
No, there was another one, and I don't even remember what it was.
It was a kung fu fighting one.
Oh,
yeah.
Dog.
Okay. You know what? I'll just stick with this. Oh, I'll just stick with that. That was really funny. That was funny. Well, guys, man, I want to welcome you here today. Joining me is my boy, Mr. Benjamin Allen Brewer.
Yes.
How are you, sir? Father,
I am alive and doeth well.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah, you are. Look at that shirt.
Dude, everybody's been digging my shirt.
And your hat.
We're just surprised to see you wearing anything clean.
Oh, dude, don't start with
and
me.
And it's nice.
I got stories about you. Don't you start with me.
Yeah, no stories on me.
Oh, I got plenty.
Miss Rebecca, how are you today?
I am doing great.
Just told me. So there was some random dude in my yard this morning, which happens every day. Okay. So we have a big place. It's a ranch, and there's always people there working on something, right? Mm-hmm. And so I stepped out the front door, and there's a guy out there today. And I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? And I saw he was treating our trees mm-hmm. because I got some kind of tree disease out there. And I'm seriously mm-hmm. going to ask if I pray against it. I mean, it's killing my trees.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, do not laugh. You don't want to lose your oak trees.
Yeah. It's a.
You don't. And God is not mocked. Whatsoever you reap, you will sow.
Well, I don't have oak trees. I have a pecan tree.
Well, may nothing happen to your pecan tree in Jesus' name.
So I would be okay.
Well, I'm not really into pecans either, but man, I love pecan trees, though, man. They're so big and they're so pretty. Man.
I like the shade.
I do, too.
And Poppy likes chasing the squirrels over there.
Old Poppy. Aww. Very good. He's about the size of a squirrel, ain't he?
No, she waddles now. She overeats.
Oh, yeah, she overeats. Yeah. Too much water burger. Too much water burger. Right on. So what are we supposed to tell people about? Connie, man, Rebecca, what are we supposed to tell people about here?
We are wanting to remind people about what we're doing in Mexico.
Mm-hmm. So we're doing a tremendous work in Mexico, and it's no joke. We are rescuing so many kids. And the reason why we're so focused in Mexico is because if you make a big dent mm-hmm. in child pornography in Mexico, you make a tremendous dent all over the planet Earth, because over 60%, I think it's 60 something percent. Correct. I heard at the United Nations meeting I was at, 62% of mm-hmm. all child pornography is actually made in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So if you're fighting child pornography in Mexico, you're fighting it all over the planet Earth, and we hate child pornography. Yes, we don't like that. We want kids to be safe. We hate slavery, and we stand against it, and we don't just preach against it, and we don't just say, oh, that's sad.
Mm-mm. And we do something about
it. Let me tell you, we do something about it, and we have spent millions of dollars through the years saving little boys and little girls out of sexual trafficking. And one of the things that we're doing in Mexico right this second is we are actually building houses that the Mexican government mm-hmm. is turning over a bunch of kids over to us that are currently in the Mexican jail system, because there is no place to put these kids that they've rescued from being trafficked. And jail is not a place where kids need to grow up, including all these kids, guys. Every single one of those boys and those girls and those babies all live in a jail right now. Every single one of them. And that's barely scratching the surface of the kids that are sitting in jails all throughout the nation of Mexico because, are you ready for this? Because sadly, the body of Jesus is not stepping up. And I'm not going to just gripe about it. I'm going to actually do something about Amen. It. I'd like to speak to all my Catholic friends in Mexico. Hey, instead of building the next big cathedral, why don't you build about 1,000 of these homes for these kids to be able to live in, and then fund it day in, day out, the whole nine yards. Amen. Right on. And so we're trying to lead the way, man. We're trying to you know, we're trying to demonstrate and illustrate what a church and what a ministry can do and the difference we can make. And hopefully other people and other churches will actually pick up the cause. And if not, or if they do, Jesus is going to be glorified because we're going to do what it is that we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
That's the fact, Jack. What are you laughing at over there?
Reese.
Nothing. I'm paying attention.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at Reese right now. I'm also laughing at Reginald.
So Reese is in ODX. Yeah. He's in the ODX chat room. So
whenever she said that Poppy waddles, he typed in the chat, I waddle in the mornings too. And I took a drink when I read that.
Well, we all waddle.
I almost shot through my nose.
So some good. More than others, but we all waddle. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
That's what I'm laughing
at. Yeah. So guys, in about 20 minutes, we're going to be going behind the veil and we got a lot of things to talk about for all of our people that are exclusive to ODX.TV to stage 2 and stage 3. And that's kind of your thing, right?
Yeah, so the way that you could partner up with us, if anyone that gives $55 or more, we have this wonderful breakthrough redeeming your timeline bundle. And this is a breakthrough declaration book. It's
redeeming. Time.
Amazing. And then we have the book.
Subliminal message.
And then we have the study guide. So anyone that gives $50 or more will be giving the Redeeming the Timeline bundle. And also you could give on ODX.TV or you can call us at 877-413-088. And you can also mail us a check at Troy Brewer Ministries at P.O. Box 3775. Burleson, Texas, 76028. If you sign up today to become a new member at ODX.TV, stage 2 or 3, we will be giving out a ODX bundle. I think we have a graphic for that.
Jeez.
And it is a wonderful book of the best of the brewer and a redeeming your timeline. I love these cards because you have different things for battle cry, for finance, so many. So look into it. But this one's about redeeming your timeline. Specific verses directing you if you're having trouble with things in the past and be guided directly. These verses take you straight to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. There's so many verses here that God just reminds us of redeeming your timeline.
So that very first verse, mm-hmm. Rebecca, is all about how that in the beginning mm-hmm. time, right?
I love that.
God created the heaven, space, and the earth, matter. Mm. So time, space, and matter is actually in the very first verse mm-hmm. of the Bible.
I love that.
Yeah, so that's why that's in there.
Well, I love it.
Right on. So guys, hey man, please stand with us. Mm-hmm. Help us rescue kids. We rescued a ton of kids just within the last week. And the numbers grow daily. And it's our privilege. We've been doing this now for 30 years. And Miss Connie, how are you today? Yes.
I'm doing good.
So you're going through the chat rooms, you're looking at things, right?
I am. And everyone, if you have questions, be sure to post them. Well, I'm looking at the ODX chat, so sorry, social media. But people in our ODX chat, if you have questions, post them so that I can spot them and then have them ready for the lineup.
So I had something cool and crazy happen last time. Well, move out the way.
Bro.
Listen, I'm not happy with you today, Ben. Everybody knows I'm not happy with you today.
Start with me.
I don't like what you did at my house this morning.
I can't wait for Behind the Veil.
Yeah, I'll tell everybody. Okay. Once we get Behind the Veil, I'll share it with everybody. Because anyway.
You just talked on me, though.
Well, I apologize. I'm very sorry.
Didn't know I was taking another shower.
So before I was so rudely interrupted, what I would like to say is that last night, me and Ben was in the barn, and the phone rang, and it's Samuel Pauling, writer, producer, director with his brother Ben Pauling of the movie Dream, right? Mm-hmm. And so he calls me because we're going to start shooting, and I can officially say it's my movie too because I'm a producer that's on it. Yes, I'm also a consultant to the actors about how sex trafficking works and how a trafficker thinks and what are some conversations I've had with traffickers.
Wow.
And they're using those things. They're putting those lines in the movies and they're doing those things. And then I'm going to go out there after June the 6th and film my scene. And so, and I pretty much get to play me in it, which is good.
Wow.
Because after this very dramatic thing happens and children are rescued and all this stuff, and then they have me show up and they're actually putting me in the movie, which is really cool.
We have the trailer if you want to show it.
You know what? I'll tell you what, let's do. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and let's watch this trailer, guys. And then I'm going to tell you about my conversation I had last night, how shooting begins on D-Day, and a brand new actor that was casted. And I'll show you who that is here in just a minute. Here we go. Watch this.
Are you ready? Huh? Ready to rumble?
Yeah.
Mike, where's Jamie? What do you mean, where's Jamie? I thought she went with you. My little sister went missing. She's been missing for like 30 minutes. Someone needs to get on the intercom and tell them that a girl's been missing.
I had a dream last night. I was standing at the gate of this old warehouse. This guy pulls up in a truck. He's staring at me like he wants to kill me.
You think God sent you a dream to go break into a warehouse? That's what you're trying to tell me. She could be in there. Someone's in there.
If it wasn't just a dream, I'd do something about it.
Boom, right on.
Wow.
So that's the movie, right? And so that main actor there, Ben Pauling, he and his brother Sam went out with me and Ben to Redemption Ranch their daddy, and they stayed a week out there with us. We talked about the movie. We talked about producing. It's my first movie to ever produce in, right? And I didn't even really know what all a producer did. And they use me as a consultant. They're my friends. And then also they hit me up while I was out there and just said, here's the deal. The proceeds of this movie, Troy, is going to go to your ministry to help you save boys and girls all over the world.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's like a really big deal.
I want to cry. Sorry.
No, it's a big deal.
It's so good.
Yeah. And here's something else that's crazy cool. They told me in a really cool way, they were hooked up with Todd White, right? Mm-hmm. And then they saw my interview with Todd White. And they saw it and they heard me tell the story of Franciella, who had been rescued. And then God gave me a dream to go down there, right?
Yeah,
you know,
that
the
was
dream.
There. Yeah, we were. Yeah.
And God gave me a dream to go down there and to pray for her and that she would immediately start speaking. And I obeyed the Lord. I went and found a plane to the Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I mean, talking about the next day,
yes,
I jumped on a plane and I left. Mm-hmm. And I was actually in Florida and I was on vacation
with
Leanna, and I told her, baby, I got to go do this. And she said, okay. And I drove to Miami. I found a flight and hopped on it. I met Ben in Bogota at 3 o'clock in the morning. Ben flew down from DFW and met me there.
He almost got me into cartel van.
Gosh, honestly, we did
again.
We did have an issue in Bogota, but it was because a guy was supposed to come and pick us up and he was supposed to be in this big van, and we walked out and I said, hey, this guy was hanging out the window. He's looking at me smiling. And I said, hey man, what's going on? I opened up the door and it was full of all these cartel guys. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning in Bogota. And I'm like, never mind.
No,
never mind.
Run, Ben.
And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, whoa, wrong van.
Wrong van. Yeah.
And so the guy never showed up. And so we had to find a cab at 3 o'clock in the morning in Bogota. And then our flight left at 9 o'clock the next morning for the Amazon. So anyway, we got through all that. We're fine. I went down there, and exactly as the Lord had shown me in the dream, that little girl started speaking. Mm-hmm. Well, they saw that video and started coming up with the concept of, what if we made a movie? Because these guys are big time movie makers. What if we made a movie where somebody started dreaming that there was trafficked children here or there, after they had their little sister abducted, and God started telling them prophetically by dreams where these kids were at. And that's what the movie's about.
That is so cool.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that. No.
You know about it, Connie.
Yeah, I do.
I didn't know that.
Excuse me. Why don't you think that that's as cool as Rebecca thinks?
Okay, because I know.
I didn't know.
And I do think it's cool.
Okay, so last night he called me. Me and Ben are sitting down in the barn. And he calls me and he says, Troy, Would you consult, well, they were telling me all the actors and actresses that they've got. It's a really big deal when you finally cast somebody, what a big deal that mm-hmm. is. And that's always exciting. And oh my gosh, man, we came up with a new scene with this new actor because this guy's so good at this and so good at that. And this guy's name is Aaron Dean is his name. And Aaron Dean, right? Isn't that his last name? I think it's his name.
Eisenberg.
Thank you, ma'am. So it's Aaron Dean Eisenberg. You guys look him out. Just look up Aaron Dean actor and it'll come up. And he was actually in the movie The Iron Claw. Now, he played Ric Flair in The Iron Claw. And Ric Flair is famous. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And Iron Claw is famously the movie that Ben caught me crying in my barn over.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah.
In my sanctuary, in my holy of holies, where I was watching his show, and I was sitting in the dark. And
Dude, I thought somebody died.
And he mm-hmm. snuck into my barn.
I didn't sneak in.
No, I'm a grown man.
You cannot blame me for sneaking in there when you turned on the beacon.
And I was like, oh my gosh. I was so embarrassed. And then I just went with it and said, the Von Erichs died. And I was crying. And he was like, Who are they? And I'm like, the wrestlers. Anyway, it was not one of my finest moments.
No.
And Ben saw it.
Yes, I did. I'll never forget it.
Ben saw one of my finest moments this morning, but I'm not going to talk about it until after we go behind the veil here within the next few minutes. Exclusive to ODX.TV.
Poor people. Mm. You too shall be scarred.
Anyway, man, I'm going to be talking to him. I'm going to be talking to this actor on Friday. He and I have an appointment because he wants to know, because of the character that he's playing, obviously the character that he is playing is involved in all different kinds of ways in a child trafficking. And he's going to be asking me about real people I've met and how did they talk? What did they do? What did they say? And because he's working on character mm-hmm. development.
Wow.
And so I'm serving as a consultant on that. Isn't that that's fun?
Cool. That yeah. is super
cool. I think that's awesome. And then of course, Jerry and Webb has mm-hmm. a movie coming out this year.
And you're in it.
And I'm in that movie. Which is great. I promise you the most powerful part of that film will be me. I just,
amen.
Because
debatable.
I know the other clowns that are in there. Brian Bolt, Darren Scott, Alan DiDio, No, those are all my buddies. And I haven't even seen their parts that they filmed. I haven't even seen it. I haven't even seen mine yet. And so I really don't know if I did a good job or not. But it's not like an acting thing. It's like where you're telling your part of the story that she has in it. So, okay, I don't know. You understand? I mean, so they have a dramatic story that goes all the way through it. And then it detours into these segments where different people are telling a real experience and encounter that they had with Jesus and what the heart of the Father is. And then it's woven into her story. It's brilliant. And she raised millions of dollars to put that movie together. I love Jerrianne Webb.
She's amazing.
She's awesome.
Yep,
she did a really good job. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where you were, but she came on and talked about revival and families.
Oh yeah, revival
and it was families. Amazing. It was
where
so good.
Were you?
I don't South remember.
You were in Dakota.
Mm. Oh,
you're with Jerry.
I was in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
I sure was.
Yes.
Suffering for Jesus up there.
Yeah, it's some cool pictures too.
Gosh, I love South Dakota. Totally love South Dakota. Mm-hmm. All right. So we only have a few minutes left here. Mm-hmm. Ask me your first question that we're talking about, the Atomic Bible Study from last Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And encourage everybody to go back and go watch it.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
It's on John chapter 2. And there were a couple of things that stood out to you and that you wanted to ask me about, Miss Connie.
Yes. So one of the things I always heard you talk about is like it's going through the servants' quarters is how you get to the king's throne room.
Yes, ma'am.
And so you talked about how the servants, when Jesus was doing the turning the water into wine, and then the servants went and took the water up to the master of the ceremonies, and no one else knew what had happened with the whole water to wine, but the servants knew. And immediately, I feel like you can't read that without thinking of Amos 3:7, where it talks about, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And then you said, don't be afraid to be a servant because you will know what the masters do not know.
Yeah. So this is so check this out. So there's two definitions that comes into this whole thing of servitude, right? And so one of them is this. Jesus says, I'm no longer going to call you servants. I'm going to call you friends, because the servants don't know what the master is doing, right? Mm-hmm. But it's through the relationship of servitude that he invites you into friendship so that you do know. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's cool about the story in John chapter 2 of the water being turned into wine at Cana was this. He told him, fill up the 12 stone basins that they had, mm-hmm. which was for ceremonial purposes, because the wedding didn't last an hour. It lasted all day long. It might last an entire week long. And there were certain rituals that you had to go through in the midst of it. So he said, fill that up with water. They filled it up with water. And then he said, now take the water to the guy that's in charge of the whole ceremony. And it says this, and they drew the water. Mm-hmm. So it was still water. And they took it to him, and they didn't know what was going to happen. And then he drank it, mm-hmm. and he's like, that's the best wine I ever had. And then they got to looking at the rest of it, and went, it's all turned into wine. Okay. And he was like, I don't know where you got this from, but they knew what had happened. So they saw it. And it specifically says that they had drawn water, but the servants who had drawn water knew. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so they were a part of that entire process. And they saw the whole thing, and they were the first ones to ever see Jesus do a miracle, because they were closest to him, because they were serving him the most. It's in that kind of servitude that you get in on the secret. And getting in on the secret is the upgrade of serving. Wow. So he moves you from serving into friendship actually through your willingness to serve.
So good.
So good. And what's so crazy about that too is, coming off of Mother's Day, Jesus didn't make that move until his mom was like, no, it is your time. Let's go. Let's get with it. And she's the one who told the servants, whatever it is he tells you to do it.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So he was subject to Mary up until that point. Mm-hmm. So beginning at 12 years old, he said, it's time for me to start my ministry. And she said, no, it's not. And then when he was 30 years old, he said, it's not time for me to start my ministry. And she said, yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so that authority determined the timing of his operation, because her job was to steward him until a certain point and to be a mama to him. But then later on, Mary wants to come in with some of her other kids, and they're like, hey man, we need to move your mom and your brothers and sisters to the front of the line. And he said, who is my mother and my father and my brothers and sisters, but those that do the will of the Lord, right? Amen. So he's like, look, I'm no longer under that kind of authority anymore. Now, if you want to be close in on the family, man, you got to do the will of God. And he's like, whoa. And of course, Mary always did. Mary's always there.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's the always there girl. She's there, of course, when Jesus is born. She's there, of course, when he takes off down. Well, she's there whenever the wise man come, you know, about a year and a half later. And then she's there whenever Jesus does his first miracle. She is also there when Jesus is on the cross. And then she's one of the 120 in the book of Acts that's listed when the Holy Spirit fell. She was there at every single one. But the last biblically recorded words of Mary is this: whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. And then she drops off the pages and you don't hear her speak anymore. But those last words really sum her up. She's all about that servanthood thing. Like, okay, if you want in on the family, then serve him. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And that brings us back full circle to what we were talking about in John chapter 2 with those servants.
So crazy. And when you said that about her always being like servant hearted, even when Gabriel came to her, the way she talked about herself was in the position of a servant. To be a handmaiden, that's a position of servitude.
That's exactly.
And so for her to even position herself like that from the beginning, it's just like, wow. And she was faithful to that throughout her lifetime.
Oh no, she's something else. Mm-hmm. Now, she's not supernatural. Okay.
Correct.
She is a woman. It's very important that she's not supernatural. It's very important that she is a woman, because Christ was born into the midst of humanity.
Correct.
Right?
Right.
But dude, she is an exceptional human being. Mm-hmm. And she's so exceptional that it can be blurred in different religious circles as to is she supernatural or is she just a girl? Man, she's just an extraordinary human being.
Okay, so right before we go behind the veil, can you quickly touch on, you already touched on going from a servant to a son. Can you touch on the process of going from a son to the bride?
Wow. Okay, so, all right. Okay, so first of all, you go in as a servant, and then you go from servant into friendship, and then friendship into sonship. right? Mm-hmm. And now right. you're talking about to go from sonship into being a bride. Mm-hmm. Mm, gosh, I'm trying to think of an example of that. But obviously, guys, we are all the bride of King Jesus. And that's kind of a strange, that was a strange hump, man, for me to get over when I first got saved. Mm-hmm. I'm a hairy-legged boy. How am I supposed to think like a bride? And then I got it. It means totally and sold out and devoted Amen. To the name of Jesus.
And I feel like even in the Bible, a lot of writers they didn't quite know how to explain that whole process. And we see in Ephesians 5, 31 and 32, that I think it's Paul. Mm-hmm. He wrote, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one, one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ in the church. So they didn't even know how to fully like explain it other than to relate it to, look, this is what this looks like. This is the best example that we can give that we can understand. And I don't know. It's just like, I feel like, yes, there's an amount of that understanding that we can get. But I think until we're fully in that place, mm-hmm. we're not going to comprehend it.
I agree because the bride status. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's what's different about the servant status and the servant status, the friendship status, and then the sonship. Wow. status, which even girls move mm-hmm. into sonship with the Lord, right? Because mm-hmm. it's not a gender bias statement, right? You move into sonship, which means a full inheritance and as an image bearer, okay? The full mm-hmm. inheritance, mm-hmm. all of that. Okay, but what's different about the bride is the bride is not, okay, those first three covenants I was just explaining, those are very individual things, mm-hmm. but the bride is corporate.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's mysterious to us because like many Christians are in servant, some Christians, it's a difference between 30-fold, 60-fold and 100-fold, right? Mm-hmm. So servitude is 30-fold and then friendship is 60-fold. But I don't want to just end it at friendship because mm-hmm. friends do not get the inheritance. Mm-mm. Sons get the inheritance.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So I want to move into my fullest capacity Amen. Of relationship with King Jesus, which is actually sonship. But those are individual achievements as God Almighty gives me green lights and promises and yeses and my willingness Amen. To answer that calling and step into those things, mm-hmm. right? Okay, but it's not like that with the bride. We are all the bride.
Amen.
It's not a one of us that's the bride. It's the entire church is the bride. And that's a whole different mamba jamba. Mm. So it's like, okay, a good example of that, and it's time for us to go behind the veil, but a good example of that is like a lot of people have, it's a difficult leap when you think about the return of King Jesus and the reason why it's difficult for so many people from so many different streams and expressions of worship and different streams of theology is, okay, is there going to be a rapture? And is the mm-hmm. rapture the same as the return of Jesus? No, it is not. And okay, what is the timing of the rapture? Is it exactly at the 7-year point? Is it 3.5 years into it? Does everybody go all the way through the tribulation? And then right before that happens, you know, there's the rapture of the church and then Christ comes back. Where is all that? The reason why that is so difficult for people to grasp and the reason why there's so many arguments among us is because it's hard for people to understand the two different covenants between the church and Israel. Those are two completely different mm-hmm. covenants. So it's like, what? Like, no, those are different. So with us as Christians, mm-hmm. we have a covenant of a bride, mm-hmm. right? And corporately, there is a way that God deals with us as a bride. Mm-hmm. But then if you are a natural Jew, and if you're living in Israel, or if you're not living in Israel, you need to know this, that God Almighty has a natural covenant with the land, the people, and the nation of Israel. Whether they keep it or not, he keeps it. Mm. And that is also confusing for people.
Yeah.
Well, why do you want to support Israel when this thing is going on or that thing is going on? Well, number one, I support Israel because they're obviously the good guys in the midst of that mess that's over mm-hmm. there.
Right.
And God help us if we do not. Correct. Okay. But my role is to support them, good or bad, right or mm-hmm. wrong, in the sense of Jesus is going to come back, not for the church. He's coming back for Israel with the church. Mm. And so that leap between those two different eschatologies and those two different covenants is hard, yeah. just like it is difficult for us as Christians to know the difference between sonship and the bride of Christ. They're two different kinds of relationships.
So good.
All right.
So good.
So good.
Well,
it's time to go behind the veil.
What did you learn today, Ben?
Dude, I've been laughing my butt off at the chat room today. They are something else today.
There's many people in there that you just encourage to be bad, man.
Yes.
And I don't want you to
They're sending emojis too. Scuba diving.
They're talking about diving.
I love the polls.
Hey guys, listen, man, we're about to go behind the veil, which is exclusive to my friends that are hanging out at stage two and stage three levels, are those people that have lifetimes over at odx.tv. And those special partners that actually do that, what's going to happen here for the next 30 or 40 minutes is just for you guys. For everybody else, it's so good, man, that you joined us today. Thank you so much for joining us. Come out and be with me tonight at Open Door Church. I'm going to be preaching tonight on, I'm doing an atomic Bible study on John chapter 3 tonight. Rebecca, are you leading praise and worship tonight?
Yes, sir.
Are you? What kind of music?
I've been hearing the Lord about miracles. We've been seeing miracle after miracle, so we're going to go after it. I just feel my heart. We're doing Breathe Miracles, and the second song is a new song. You're going to love it because the chorus says Open Door.
Okay.
And then the third song will be Take Courage.
Take courage. Come on.
Yeah. So we're going to wait, and we're going to be courageous, and we're not going to hold back, and we're going to keep on going.
Guys, listen, you can join us live or you can join us online if you're in some other parts of the world, like my friends that are in South Africa that are watching right now. My friend in Las Vegas I saw a while ago. My friends in, there's people all over the world that are literally watching right now. And I'm so grateful that you follow us and that you stick with us, that you pray for us, and that you support us. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Miss Connie, I'm going to let you say goodbye to everybody. And then if you're on ODX stage two or stage three, hang on and I'll be right back with you right after Miss Connie talks to you.
All right, everybody. Just want to close up with a scripture for this portion that we kind of jumped over because we were trying to get the content to you really quick. But Reese was awesome because he actually posted it in the ODX chat I saw. But it's in my notes, so awesome, Reese. And it's Galatians 4, and it's 1 through 7. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, wow, you are no longer a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ."
Wow.
So hold on to that promise. Hold on to that because it's truth. And thank you, Reese, for posting that in the chat. That's awesome that we had the same
thought. That's awesome. Hey, everybody's asking me, too. I've had it like 10 times since I've been on. What does Pastor Troy's shirt say?
You want to read it? Yes, I grabbed that quote. It says, "They call me pastor because hardcore devil stumping ninja isn't an official job title."
Thank you. Whoever sent me this shirt. Thank you. Somebody actually sent me this shirt, and I'm sorry I don't know who it was. I get a lot of shirts in the mail.
All right, ADD, we got to go behind the veil.
Okay, well, let's go behind the veil. God bless you guys. We'll see you tonight at Open Door. Bye-bye, everybody.